Soft and sweet, strong and salty, cool cream and hot coffee. When we come together, there's a change. I know you're good for me. You change me like the weather. You change me for the better. We're good together.
Welcome back, podcast listeners, to another episode of Wings Over Water, Creativity in Recovery with your hostess with the mostest, Kathy Moser. I am once again back behind the wheel of my purple Honda Fit. She's called Penelope. You might hear the GPS in the background. This is my, sometimes it's just what's got to happen to bring this show to you on a regular basis. So, the topic of today's show is the art of collaboration, and I could also have called it working with others. So I wanted to talk about what is the benefit in our recovery of collaborating with, partnering with, receiving information from other people, and what is the benefit in our artistic life of the same thing. And what made me think of this was I just read a really great book called, I think it's called The Wisdom of the Earth. And when I got to the end of the book, I was just so moved by the book that I decided to read all of the acknowledgments that in this case were at the end of the book. And I thought of, and he just mentioned all of these people, like someone who read the book and championed it to the people at the publishing company, and somebody who edited the book, and people who read early drafts. And I just thought about all the kind of analogies that we would have in recovery to having that kind of a creative team helping us bring our vision and our life forward. I can tell you that the longer that I've been in this recovery journey, the more I've become to appreciate that my recovery network is very much like an encyclopedia. It's like a living encyclopedia. And I know some libraries around the country are now actually having, I know this sounds crazy, but you can actually check out people rather than just books. So, for example, if there's people in the community that have a particular skill, like maybe knitting or plumbing or whatever, they can volunteer to the library to be checked out by somebody. So if you had a plumbing problem or you're trying to learn to knit or you're having an issue in your garden, for example, you could go to the library and check out a person, which I just think is such a cool thing. So recovery is like that too, I'm finding. Like, I recently accidentally scraped off a piece of trim off of the side of my car, and there's someone that I know in my recovery network who knows all about cars and told me exactly how to get it fixed. And I didn't have to like learn about how to repair a trim. I didn't have to learn about what was involved in the process. I just asked this person for his expertise and did what he said, which left me a lot more time to play guitar. So, and also, I don't know about you, but so many of us, the root of our addiction, or a big piece of our addiction, was isolation. So coming out of that isolation and being in connections with others, for me, has been very awkward and slow and embarrassing and scary, frankly. So I'm going to kind of experiment on all of that today, talking about why is it great to collaborate, why is it hard to collaborate, what are some tools we can use to collaborate, how can we ask for help, how can we offer help. So that's going to be the topic of today's show, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Sang out of tune, would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. I wanna get back to my friends.
Was of course the great Joe Cocker with a little snippet of I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends. I opened up the show with a snippet of a song called Better Together, which is by an artist I love named David Wilcox. I just want to acknowledge you're going to hear some of the audio is stuff that I'm recording here at my desk. Some of it's in the car. There were some issues with some of the pieces that I recorded in the car, so I'm going to be doing some of it at the desk, but trying to keep the majority of what I recorded while I was driving. So, in case you're noticing this sounds different, that would be why. When I was reading the acknowledgments in this book, I was just struck about the editor, you know, what the function of the editor is and what a gift it is to have an editor. I've had that experience writing for Recovery Campus and some other things I've gotten to write. And I also was thinking about how in recovery, some of the people who've helped me have sort of functioned as life editors.
And sometimes in a work of art, as also in life, we can interrupt our own success by trying to do too much. So an editor can be a person that goes, you know, this piece here and this piece here, that's either a different book or a different song or something you should not be trying to do this week.
So it's been such a gift to me to have an editor, and this is part of the art of collaboration, making our art better. And there's this great story that comes from this book called Women Who Run With the Wolves by Clara Pinkola Estes. She talks about that storytellers talk about this idea of throw a little gold on the floor, which is that sometimes we need to let go of part of whatever our book, movie, photograph is, cropping it. You could think of it in another way like that, in order to make the work stronger. And this is a job that is often done or helped to be done by someone who is not the original artist because they come at it with a different perspective, a little bit of a distance. And to have this other person's point of view, especially someone that you trust and respect, their own art. And it's an interesting thing, you know, an editor is a separate, different job. And I know for myself, the only way I can function as my own editor is if I record stuff and then listen to it, playing it back. When I don't even have a guitar in my hands, most likely in the car, I'll listen to it back and I have a different perspective. But even more valuable can be to have a different person offering you that perspective.
So in the recovery world, this could be a, you know, a sponsor. It could be something that could happen through the process of your fourth step of recognizing, like having someone else point out to you, like where you may be overwhelming yourself. And, again, remembering that as a creative person, it's a gift that we have so many creative ideas, and it can be a weakness if we don't allow ourselves to focus on one thing at a time. And for me personally, I tend to have unrealistic expectations, especially of myself, but also of others for sure. So having an editor who's either like a life editor or a songwriting editor or a magazine article editor, or a movie editor. I don't make movies at this time, but you know, this is a job that is completely separate from the act of creation. So when we can collaborate with other people and have someone has that outside point of view that goes, oh, here are the strong parts of your story or your song. Here's where the through line is. Here's a project that you're working on that you might need to put aside for a little while because it's overwhelming you. Or here's what your priorities are, or here's how to think about your priorities. Not that they're telling you what to do, just it can be a function of clarity. It can be a real tool for clarity, is to have someone else, especially if you have a couple of someone else's. For myself, I know that for reasons I cannot explain to you, I try to always call three people, ask three different people their opinions. And the part that I can't explain to you is that often they will be saying the same thing and I can hear it from one of them and I can't hear it from the other two. And I have no idea why that is. But there's all kinds of things I don't understand, but I still use, like my cell phone, for example. So I don't have to understand how it works in order to use it. So the same with this. I've just, my experience has shown me that if I talk to three different people about it, even if they're saying the same thing, I can only hear it generally. For one of them really gets through where they just put it in a way that's really helpful for me. One of the challenges of working But also one of the benefits of working with others is that we tend to, people see things differently. And the example I want to use is that, you know, if you're going on a mission or an expedition, the last thing you want is five people who all have the same skill set and the same point of view. Because that's not, it's proven that it's not a success strategy. If you're going to go on an expedition or a quest, what you want is people with different skills. Maybe some overlapping skills, but if you think about like the space shuttle or Star Trek or any kind of expedition or a band, for example, you want all those different points of view, and it can make it very challenging to get along with, to listen to hear all those different points of view. So I guess one of the tools there in terms of being able to utilize a variety of different kinds of people is open-mindedness, for sure. Tolerance, absolutely. Respect, definitely. And this work that we do in art and this work that we do in recovery is really hard work. It's emotional work. It's draining work. It's work that happens over extended periods of time. It's not just like a one-off. Extended periods of time. So we need to be able to tolerate each other, allow for people having a bad day, you know, allow for people having a strongly held different opinion that we just can't reconcile. Sometimes that will happen. I know as an artist, like I lead a band, so I only want to play with people that I respect and who so I always listen to their ideas, which are often great, and I'm the leader of the band, and we're playing my music, so there are a few times that I will say, like, I hear you, and I appreciate you putting in that input, and it just doesn't go that way. It goes this way. So how can I strengthen myself in order to be a better collaborator so that I can better utilize this encyclopedia of experience that's available to me in the world? Because there's 7 billion people. That's like a really large encyclopedia if you look at it that way. I think, first of all, my own self-care, definitely. And I would also say this is like one of the few places I would say that I kind of treat my recovery and my artisticness separately, in that my recovery, my spiritual well-being, my personal self-care is foundational to being able to walk into rehearsal, performance, radio show, whatever, and do my job as an artist in a relaxed, mature,
open-minded
way. It doesn't actually work for me to try and do it the other way around. I definitely, like, we had a beautiful experience last night where I just feel like the huge energy of creativity was completely filling me up. And I love that feeling. And, you know, it's definitely a high that one could want to chase. But for me, it's foundational that I have my recovery act together. That I personally go to meetings. I call people on the phone. I've talked to people. It's also really important that I attend to my hungry, angry, lonely, tired, because other people can be challenging, they can be annoying, they can be completely mysterious, right? Have you ever had, like, talk to someone and you just cannot see their point of view? So for me, in terms of artistic collaboration, I have to have this recovery, self-care piece as solidly together as I can. If you're a working artist, there's just times that you're going to be tired and there's times that you're going to be overstretched. But that's actually an even more important time to have that reserve to dig into. You know, like there's that Eagle song, like Running on Empty. And I can definitely see how that probably happened to the Eagles touring the way that they were touring in the 70s. But as a person in recovery, I cannot afford to be running on empty. So it's definitely easier for me to take other people's opinions into consideration, try other people's ideas, put my ego aside.
if I am not hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. This is one of the many places that being a person in recovery is an advantage to us in our artistic endeavors, because we are going to be much more sustainable. We're going to be much more able to collaborate with people, develop the relationships that are totally necessary for any kind of artistic success.
Another piece of the art of collaboration, perhaps an important piece that I maybe should have mentioned sooner, is picking your collaborators. And there's a couple of expressions that come to mind. One is a man that I respect in recovery says, you can tell how your life is going by the quality of the people you have around you. For myself, I have decided that I never want to be the best musician in the room. And I am currently playing with two people who are absolutely more skilled than I am. They are more experienced than I am. And that's exactly what I want, because that's what brings my game up. And that's not what I would allow myself to do when I was using. I would generally tend to attract like the land of misfit toys. And I would also, I didn't have the ego strength, I think, to be around people that were more talented than me. I didn't feel worthy, I guess. So I think it's a big piece of being able to collaborate is trying to choose well and trying to not choose broken people, you know, trying to really be discerning about that and to take our time. I generally also want to like adopt people immediately. I'm kind of impulsive in that way. And that's fine, but I tend to also actually like audition people. Now, both physically and, I mean, both literally artistically audition them, but also like kind of emotionally and personally audition them so that I get a sense of who they are before I necessarily call upon them as my encyclopedia. So one of the other expressions I think of here is consider the source. I love that expression. So right now, the violinist I'm playing with, she went to Juilliard at age 11. Oh my golly, she's so good. So when she has a suggestion about an arrangement or a harmony or whatever, I definitely listen to her. So choosing well, choosing wisely is definitely a big piece of the art of collaboration. And it's the same in recovery. You know, this is this expression they have of stick with the winners. I know some people object to that expression. However, for myself personally, I was taught, like, you know, get advice from people that have 5 years clean and sober or more, because they've just gone through a lot of experience. And again, remembering one of the beautiful things about recovery is we don't share our opinion, we share our experience. And I think in terms of art, that's very important also. You want to talk to people who, if you're a painter, have painted, you know, and have had all the experiences that you want to have, that understand what it is to find the right materials, who understand what it is to blend colors, who understand what it is to approach a gallery owner, to understand what it is to have a badge, to have a show that's not well received, and what it is to have a show that is well received, what it is to have to sell a painting. It's one reason I'm grateful that I'm not a painter, because I know I have friends who are painters, and it's not like a photograph or a song. You know, once you sell it, it's gone. So we want to find people who have actual experience rather than opinions, because that's just so much more comforting and confidence building. I know a friend of mine who's been kind of my road psychologist, if you will, has shared his experience with me. And one thing he said that's been super helpful to me is he said, you know, when you're traveling across the country in a car and you stop at a rest stop, there's pretty much nothing in that convenience store that you can eat except maybe coffee and water. Everything else you should be carrying with you, because you can't go out for 2 weeks and survive on the food that you're going to find in a gas station convenience store. And like, so I actually now carry, you know, almonds and fruit and all that kind of stuff with me. I actually have a pile of food right next to me in the seat of the car here. So finding people who have experience is, I think, definitely a more successful approach to collaborating. Here's one of the puzzling parts of collaboration. Relationships end. All kinds of relationships end. And I know people, there's this expression to say people come into your life for a season, for a reason, for a something, or for a something. I can't remember what that is. So that's a tricky thing too. I know I've definitely had experiences where my band broke up with me. Not this band, but like three bands ago. My band broke up with me, and I was totally as devastated as I would have been out of any romantic relationship, possibly more so, because my, you know, I had my artistic dreams invested in that situation, and I was definitely not as mature at that time, and I might not have chosen very well, and but to figure out, like, it definitely, I guess it was what it needed to be at the time. It moved things forward. And so figuring out, like, when a relationship needs to end, a collaboration needs to end, you know, you may outgrow people. People may outgrow you. And, or people just might have other priorities. And that's so hard. It's one of the things that makes me a little bit gun-shy, honestly. So I think, again, this is one of those places where, for me, my recovery life and my artistic life are separate, and my recovery life is, in this case, foundational to my successful artistic life, because I need to have a connection with a higher power. I need to have a network of people who love me, whether I have a band or not. You know, I need to have a network of people that are a little bit detached from my artistic work so that I can, you know, remain well and healthy and happy within myself, which is, for me, the best place to perform from, for sure. I'd just be lying to you if I told you that I didn't have some great songs that came out of really dark, hard times, because that's one of the gifts of being a creative person is other people just have a bad day, you know. I have a bad day and I get a song out of it. I have songs I've been playing for 20 years that came out of a bad day 20 years ago. So that's a blessing. But as an ongoing, sustainable art career, I definitely need to have solid connections in recovery so that if any of my artistic relationships end for whatever reason, that I still have these other foundational relationships to catch me.
This ship was all I knew, you and me only. I did it all for you, still you were lonely. We could have worked it out, but I guess things change. It's funny how someone else's success brings pain. When you're no longer involved, that person has it all, and you just stuck standing there. But I'm gonna need you to say something, baby. Say something, baby.
One of the most possibly important tools in collaboration, I think, is clear communication and really working at that and working for that. I have a little spiel I give before I play with anybody. It goes something like this. I request that if you work with me, you work for me, we're in rehearsal, performance, radio show, recording studio, whatever, that there be no drugs or alcohol when we are working together. And it's not because of you, it's because of me. I have a problem with drugs and alcohol, and I can't have it around me when I'm working. So that's like a upfront little spiel. My other little upfront spiel is that I am exceedingly blunt in the throes of creative excitement. So I tell people, like, when we're singing harmonies or we're working parts out or whatever, when I hear what I want, I'm kind of like a pit bull. I'm like, that's it. Like, yes to that, no to that. I'm extremely direct. And I just kind of tell people that up front. I mean, I try not to be a jerk, but I am just like, that's kind of my nature. I'm exceedingly direct. And so I just tell people that up front, like, please don't take it personally. Very blunt. When I'm in hyper focus mode as an artist, I'm just like, let's just get this done, man. Like, if I know I don't like it, I don't want to try it again, you know? And I know that might be like a little different than the open-mindedness thing, but I also just know myself as an artist. So rather than try to placate people or whatever, I just tell them up front, like, look, I'm just like a hunting dog, you know? If I see it, I'm going to go for it. And actually, I've had so many people thank me for that, because I don't know about you, but there's times when people are artistically collaborating that people just will not clearly say what it is that they want and they don't want, because they don't want to hurt someone else's feelings. And like 25 minutes later, you're just still not there yet, you know? So one thing I can say is it definitely leads to much more efficient use of time, which is a really important part of collaboration. If people are going to work with you over and over and over again, they need to know that, like, you really value and respect their time, and so that you're getting everything done that needs to get done, and you're getting it done in a timely fashion.
Well, beloved listeners, it's been great to be back with you again. I hope you have a great week being a creative person in recovery, and that you find tools that help you to collaborate, people that you respect and are excited to work with, that you give yourself time, give them time, and understand sometimes they're going to say goodbye, but that just means someone else is going to say hello. This has been like a pretty diverse musical crew on this show here today. We had Drake with Say Something, David Wilcox with Better Together, Poco with Go Ahead and Say Goodbye, and we're taking it out here with the Allman Brothers. I Ain't Wasting Time No More. Listen, remember, there's shows every single day of the week on City of Angels Recovery Radio. If you're enjoying it, please tell a friend, get the word out there, and have a great week. Thanks so much. Subway train.